document that's really vague that just says, you know, it lays out some of the kind of payment requirements, invoicing, things like that, but it just says, you know, you're entering in an agreement with our firm to be an on-call consultant. Then you come to us maybe, you know, a couple weeks later and say, hey, we've been working on this data center ordinance. We'd like you to review it, and we want you to prepare kind of a presentation on some other considerations for us. Then what we would do is we would put together a work order that would show a proposed level of effort, outlining specifically what that will entail, research, you know, travel time, if necessary, X amount of meetings, and then we would give that to you. And then only once that's executed on your end would we start the work. So you would know before we start the work what the anticipated level of effort is.
So a typical ordinance review would be how many dollars?
For a complete comprehensive...
No, just the typical, if we're working on one ordinance, just a typical review. We're deep into data centers and
sure.
warehouses already, but if we said to you we want to do a warehouse ordinance, what kind of money are we talking to get started? This is what you're talking about.
Yes, so I would say, so right now we're working with a township, and I'm really hesitant to give a number because it really depends on, you know, who we want to bring. But we are, so right now we're working with a township on an open space overlay ordinance. It required, they wanted extensive public engagement. So keep in mind this amount covers, I think, 4 meetings, multiple board of commissioner meetings, et cetera, but that was around 11,000. If you cut out a lot of that, public engagement adds up, as I'm sure you
absolutely
you went through a comp plan process.
But it's funny you bring up an overlay because that's something that we have to discuss.
Yes, yeah. So with that, like in terms of the public engagement, there was a lot of controversy around a certain development, so they just wanted to cover their bases and be really transparent. I would say if you cut that out, it might have been close to half the price, maybe a little more. When we're looking at a complete zoning ordinance, you know, rewrite, saldo rewrite, it's around 80 to 100.
Right, now, we're aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we were putting an ordinance together, we have specific ideas a lot of times on what we want, and
yeah.
sometimes we'll say, you know, we want it in everyday layman terms so anybody can understand it.
Absolutely.
When you go back to your group of people, are they going to, like, come up with ideas and bounce them off us, or are they just going to come up with a plan, bring it in, and then if we don't like it, it goes back to them again?
So I find, depending especially on your timeline, that's way too time intensive and effort intensive. So for example, something like the beekeeping ordinance or the food truck ordinance that with Economy Borough, kind of the approach that we took is, you know, one, we want to have a discussion with you and kind of do our due diligence. What is the issue? What are your specific concerns? Because we could talk with data centers, we could talk to multiple municipalities, we're gonna hear slightly different things for every municipality. So we don't wanna come in with any assumptions. So we'd have most likely kind of a workshop meeting with you to understand the problem, your kind of fears or opportunity that you see and the work that you've done so far, right? We don't wanna reinvent the wheel if you've already done some work. Then we would go back, we would put together almost like a memo, a report showing, I like to provide multiple options. So here is draft language. We'd have the draft, you know, ordinance, but in certain sections, we might have option 1, 2, 3, you know, for this section on, you know, buffers, for example, or noise. And with each of those options, we lay out what are the unintended consequences, what does this achieve, and then what we like to do with you, and we do this on our own, but we like to play out different scenarios. So, you know, if you go with option 1, what does that mean? If you go with option 2, you know, what does that mean? But we would do that in one ordinance draft. We might have, you know, 5 different sections with different options that we want to discuss with you. Because that's a lot more productive than us saying, here's option 1, you know, and then going back again and to the table. So it's more of a workshop process that we can do. And then, of course, we would take it back And you might say for noise, we like option one. For buffers, we like option two, you know, and then we'd go back and finalize that and clean up the copy to
instead
send to
of
you.
Comparing whole ordinances.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And it does kind of, sometimes it's like one of those flow charts. You're like, okay, well, if you choose, you know, option one for noise, what does that mean for this? But we work that through with you. We work, you know, we know that ahead of time, and we want to workshop with you in real time, because that'll make you feel more comfortable about the decisions you're making, and then also be able to defend your decision.
So, questions I have?
Yeah, pretty good.
Anything else? Samantha, thank you very much. This is really
very professional.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice presentation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your professionalism.
Thank you. I've been following your work and really commend you with, you know, taking a proactive approach, especially when it comes to these data centers, solar farms, warehousing. So, you know, thanks for your work as well. And, you know, feel free to reach out if you have any other questions.
We will.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming you're here for AutoZone.
I am.
If you introduce yourself, do you need an easel? Do you?
I mean, I can hold it up or whoever's easiest for you guys.
Did I put the easel back in the other one?
Yeah, you did.
How dare you?
How dare you?
I have some hard copies here. Do you want some more?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Thank you.
I'll go.
That's okay. I can just hold it up.
I can.
No, he'll get it.
Thank you so much.
I don't think we're going to need to open up a bunch. Did you get a copy?
I'm pretty good to share. I did not get one.
Okay. I looked at it already for 3 months.
Hey, I went over it on my phone, so you holding that up, I'll...
Well, Bob will get an easel. That'll make it simpler. Your name, I'm sorry?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Tom D'Angelo with D'Angelo Consulting, and then Carmen from MDM Engineering is online. And we're representing the AutoZone project.
Right.
And as soon as Bob comes back with the easel, I'll throw it up and we can talk about it. Thank you, sir.
No problem. What are you doing, an art class in your office?
It was a long walk.
Tony, you've got a copy of this?
Yes, I have a copy.
Okay.
Everybody got the electronic copy, though.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment letter from Mr. Fuller.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to read that.
So I'll just give a brief overview of the project. So this is the lot as it stands, very, very far away, two doors down. And what we're proposing to do is to do a partial demolition of the site, and AutoZone is proposing to build a new store. So you can see the layout of the store here with some parking. Access is going to be through an easement on the adjacent Dollar General parcel. We have an on-lot septic system. We're going to tie into water, electric, gas. And the stormwater management is going to be an internal collection system. You see the piping better here. We're going to take the roof leaders and all the parking lot water, and we're going to convey it to a basin that's going to be located towards the back of the property. And the stormwater management basin is designed for the vast majority of storms we get in Pennsylvania, like the two-year storm, give or take. And so for the two-year storm event, it'll entirely retain the water and there'll be no discharge.
This is on a different piece of property.
It's the same property.
You're actually subdividing, right?
No.
Well, there was a lease line. So
okay.
So
in essence, it is another piece of property. Okay. Okay. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So with that, pretty straightforward project. I understand you guys have seen it before. Any specific questions we could address at this time, or any comments, concerns?
Let's take...
Do you want to go through the comment letter?
Yeah, let's go through the comment letter.
That's from Paul, right?
Well, let's let him present everything, and then let's go back to the comment letter. Go through whatever you want to present.
I mean, that was.
That's where you are. That's where you are.
Yeah.
Let's flip back to the
front. Okay.
I don't have it open in front of me.
Sure.
So Carmine's on and he's listening?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I'm here.
So I'll put the store layout with the parking lot and the access.
Okay. All right, so then you want to do the comment letter, Bob? Is that what you wanted to?
Yeah, the question is on the on the storm basin that's on the back of the property. Does that eventually work for the back property too, or is that just for AutoZone?
For right now, it's just designed for AutoZone.
What kind of an agreement is there with the property owner that's not going to impede what they're doing later? Is there what assurance are you giving to the township that if this makes that lot or that back undevelopable? Where are we protected from that point?
I'm going to let Carmen, I don't know if you want to take that one.
Yeah, so as you guys know, the property owner is not quite sure of what he's going to do with that rear part. I know at one time he talked about a restaurant. Another time he talked about a fitness center. So they have no concrete plans at this time for the development at the rear. But naturally, as Tom said, it is one piece of property. We had that discussion early on with the township about whether it could be subdivided. It cannot be subdivided and meet the requirements of the planning and zoning. So it is one piece of property with the ground lease, and there is agreements in place between the property owner and AutoZone with respect to the stormwater, primarily where AutoZone is responsible to maintain the system. Even though it's owned by the property owner, AutoZone has an agreement to maintain it. And obviously, that maintenance agreement would include the exhibit that dictates the location of the design pond and how that pond has to remain in perpetuity as part of the stormwater management. As you know, one of the requirements of stormwater management is no changes can be made to that system without written approval from the municipality.
Carmen, I have a question. It's Tony Magnotta. I noticed on the plan that the actual basin is at the rear of the property, correct?
Correct.
And my question is there, does AutoZone have...
Can you give us that overlay that shows
authorization
that?
To place that on the property owner's property, because that's not on your plans. It shows the leased lined property,
correct.
And that property is outside of the confines of that leased property.
Correct. So it's outside of the lease line, but it's on the same piece of property, the continuous piece of property. Again, there will be an agreement in place between the property owner and AutoZone and the town. We'll be given an opportunity to review that agreement, render any comments or changes they deem necessary that protects both AutoZone and the township, that pond will remain. It'll be shown on the exhibit. And certainly the property owner was fully aware of where it was intended. And if the board can remember early on, we were looking at the overall master site plan of how that whole property might be developed. That pond was always shown in that rear corner, which is the lowest part of the site, which had the best park. That was actually where the old septic system was. And it made the most sense from an engineering standpoint to locate that pond at that corner.
Right, I guess my what I'm getting at is that don't we need to have the owner of the property also, along with AutoZone, execute a developer's agreement to make sure that those stormwater improvement project is maintained?
That would probably be true, as that's normally the case when you have both a property owner and a lessee. So any agreements between AutoZone and the township would most likely include the property owner on their side of the table, and I don't see that being an issue at all.
Okay, thank you. That's just I just wanted to get to that point.
Well, and in that agreement on both sides needs to be part of it. You've got a lot of boilerplate on this plan, as far as the instructions and the contractor's agreements and what would be there. But it's, you're pretty specific about the timing of the maintenance of the stormwater management systems, twice a year, mm-hmm. two times, and that's standard language. But I think that needs to be in the contractor's agreement on both sides, what that actually is going to look like.
So you want the operation and maintenance to be outlined in the agreement?
So that we know that they're agreeing to that. I think that's where we're going with this, right, Tony?
Yes, that's correct.
Right.
Yeah, if everybody's agreeing to it, right, what is the proof in they're actually doing the maintenance?
That's why you put it in the contractor's agreement in the beginning.
Yeah, that's why both parties would be responsible for maintenance.
Right.
If neither party does, then the township would come in and perform the maintenance and lien the property.
With a contractor's agreement, that the township has the ability to do that, Mr. Brown.
I've seen a lot of things that, you know, there's always agreements, but
it doesn't get done.
Right,
and that's part of that's part of what my concern is.
That's for me to worry about.
Right.
I agree 100%. That's why I asked the question that all parties need to join into the maintenance and operation agreement. And quite frankly, we probably should have, we'll probably have some bonding requirements also for the developer's agreement.
And then what about, like, if they have it maintained, proof that they're maintaining it? Like, every 2 years, do we get a document saying
They're saying on their general notes that this is maintenance and inspection twice a year, mm-hmm. every 6 months. Right, that's what they're saying, that specifically in their plan.
But does the township get a copy of said certificate of inspection?
Well, that can go in the construction agreement.
All right.
Mm-hmm. And if that's something you want to ask for.
He said, she said.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Tony, correct me if I'm wrong, but normally in these cases, and you'll notice on the cover sheet, the post-construction stormwater management plan, sheet PCSM1, will be recorded, and along with that developer's agreement, which would include the maintenance and operation requirements. So that's normal procedure, as you probably know, that will be recorded with the county recorder, signed by both parties, AutoZone and the property owner. And as you look at that sheet, PCSM1, there's language there that I believe standard language that protects the township with respect to maintenance. It gives the township the right to access the property to produce inspections. There will be bonds posted to confirm that the work is done.
We would put our standard language in allowing us ingress to the property in the event that there's items that are not taken care of either by AutoZone or the property owner, and also allowing the property to be leaned. I think my concern was that there was a mention of agreements between AutoZone and the property owner. I think that the agreement has to be strictly between the three parties, the township, property owner, and AutoZone. And the property owner needs to be informed that he's going to remain liable for performance under this in the event that AutoZone does not.
And I don't see that being a problem.
Okay, thank you.
You said partial demolition. What do you mean by that?
So the existing structure in the garage are going to be demolished, but these features in here, some of the asphalt and gravel, are going to be left. So we're not going to demolish everything, just the major structures that are on there. And then
is that what was presented to us?
Yeah, the building's out of them down.
Okay, so
that's the old restaurant, right? And there's a garage in the back.
And the problem at the time was the garage was being rented out as an apartment.
Yeah,
nice.
Right. Yeah, under normal circumstances, we would do a conditional use and a land development hearing together. In this instance, we did the conditional use prior to the land development. So there's certain stipulations in the in the conditional use that apply to this. One of them, I believe, is that all the demolition and the permits for the demolition and all that would be completed before any permits would be issued for the rest of the work on this property. I see no notation or nothing in the land development plan that indicates that.
Yeah, well, so I came in a little late past the conditional use hearings, and but that, if that's a no, we can add that to the plans. That's not
hard. That's why I said that, because I remember the demolition part being
I think the best suggestion I have is that you should make it, you should have a note on your land development plan which incorporates the conditional use approval for the project and incorporates all the conditions of that conditional use approval. This way there's no mistake when the township signs the map that all those conditions apply to the land development as well as the conditional use.
Thank you, Mr. Magnot. That's basically what I was asking for. Is if we're going to do it this way, we should be seeing the conditional use.
Absolutely.
Right. So,
and we can add that.
But it was pretty clear, and you're coming in this late, it was pretty clear that the demolition, any permits to do with the demolition, all of that sort of stuff had to be done before any permits were going to be let for the rest of it.
Right. Now,
you did leave it that way, right?
Yep.
And we're just the demolition of the structures, so the old restaurant and the garage.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and you're putting it on yourself that you're taking the septic out, you're taking the... You're locating water lines. You're doing that.
Yeah, sort.
It's pretty clear what you're doing with that demolition because that page was pretty specific.
Okay. Yeah, we can definitely add that note.
Right. So.
So you're gonna you're gonna surrender the existing septic system and replace it with an on lot on your front lot.
Yeah, there is
because the septic system's in the back.
Yeah, we've been working with Bob and. We're proposing the subsystem comes out this way. This is going to be where the tank is, and there's going to be an in-ground bed, and that'll service just the AutoZone facility.
Right. So if you're developing the rest of the back of that property, then I'm assuming. And did I see on the landscape plan anything being done on that perimeter property,
We can pull up the landscape.
Where the detention pond is? Yeah. So your landscape plan doesn't go beyond that, and it should go if you're improving that property, that landscape plan should continue down that property side.
Well, there's no proposed improvements regarding landscaping other than reseeding any of the areas that are disturbed put in the detention pond.
You're building a detention basin.
We would seed that, but there's no landscaping proposed on that rear part of the property, no trees, no shrubs, other than
that's what I'm saying.
Ground cover to prevent erosion and seeding of the pond. Same thing with the septic system. We're not proposing to remove the septic system that's at the rear of the property. Without removing the sanitary line, as it shows on the demo plan, but we had no intention of going back and removing the existing septic field that's at that point would be abandoned because there's nothing connected to it.
I thought you said that was where the basin was where the septic was.
It's actually a little bit to the south.
The field, we believe the field is in that area. And of course, when it gets excavated for the pond, it will come out from that very nature. But we have no intention of doing anything with respect to the dosing chambers or septic tanks. Once we abandon it and we move the sanitary line from the building, that's the extent of that work.
Right, but my point is you're going to be excavating and changing that portion of the property, which would require a buffer or a landscape section or whatever on that property line.
I'm sorry, I wasn't aware that we need a landscape buffer between the retention pond and the property line.
Well, I think it makes sense.
I think it makes sense if you're going to develop this property eventually. You have property owners there. They were the only ones that came to your hearing, correct?
They came to the conditional use hearing, yes.
Right, and that was their primary concern, was it not?
They were more, I think, concerned about existing trees that they wanted to see removed. That was what I recall.
So I guess I'm asking my solicitor what he thinks of this.
Well, before we go there, is there a buffer there now?
First off, is there going to be any barrier for anyone walking into the pond?
Oh, is there a fence or anything around this thing?
We don't have one proposed at the moment.
I mean, there's a fence around Walmarts, there's fences around every one that I've seen.
Well, I'm not concerned about fences around it because of the commercial nature of it. I'm concerned about the residential to the commercial property.
Right. I think that the intent of the conditional use was to make sure that those residential owners didn't have to look out their window and see it. So. Yeah, I think the supervisors are likely to want to have some type of a buffer for the detention basin. And how deep is this basin?
Memory serves, I think it's 6 feet.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's filled with water.
Well, my point is you're going to take the house down, you're going to rearrange all of the property. You're going to clear that piece of property to do what you're doing there. So there needs to be a definition between commercial and residential properties. Right. And that's a residential development.
But I believe we have in our ordinance that there has to be a 25-foot buffer between that. And if the buffer is not suitable, we can add them.
Well, there has to, it needs well, to be.
I don't know.
The fact
don't know
of the matter, is, the fact of the matter is, if this wasn't being developed, that wouldn't be there. If there was no encroachment onto the other lease section of the property, then it wouldn't be a discussion.
Exactly.
But since they're going to be working on that in entire one side, because you know you're going to have machines and stuff in there to dig your line, and there's going to be quite a bit of disturbance between the lease line and the retention pond. So there's going to be a lot of disturbance there. So if it wasn't there, if it wasn't going to be there, it wouldn't be a discussion.
Where's Milford Town Green? Is Milford Town Green to the back side of the
No.
Yeah, to the top.
No, it's right
top
alongside. Top. It's along, the, it goes on the whole side.
Don't want to look at that.
Those houses
that's
are.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah, right. that's
those houses are within 50 feet of that line.
Well, I mean that property line. So who did I know that lived in there? Georgie Dodd lived in there, and I was in her backyard, and I was looking in that
question.
Direction.
Right.
What is first? How close to the property line is this? Is the detention basin?
It's on the edge.
So
of
if you're looking. If you look at sheet C1.1A, you can see the retention pond. The top edge of the pond, which is contour 470, is about 20 feet from the property line. And you'll note that there is an existing fence along that property line bordering the neighbors to our north.
Carmine, how old is that fence?
I have no idea. It's probably existing, it's probably been there as long as that property's been there.
And who owns it?
That's hard to tell. It looks like it's on the other property, but it's almost right on the property line. I think it's a chain link fence, so it's not
a
good side out type of fence.
Right. So.
And does that show it going through the retention pond? Is that the double
no.
line?
No. This is the setback.
So that's
right
the fence.
Here.
Yep.
Right.
So.
So, how deep is the detention pond?
6 feet.
6 feet?
6 feet. 6 feet.
I have to say that there needs to be some arrangement made for buffering between the
Good holiday.